Welcome to Health Connections, a show about people, health, and policy. I'm Brandon Hollingsworth. In the dark days of the Second World War, the letter V meant victory. Today, the letter V stands for something just as hoped for, a vaccine for COVID-19. Pharmaceutical companies around the world are scrambling to invent a vaccine that will protect us from the pernicious effects of the novel coronavirus. But any vaccine must also be safe for humans. Creating a vaccine on such a massive scale, on such short notice, for a new illness has never been done before. And like everything else about COVID-19, the race for a vaccine has been politicized, raising concerns that any vaccine released ahead of Election Day might not be ready for prime time. Today on Health Connections, the challenges and the potential of a vaccine for COVID-19. Joining me is Dr. Carol Myers of the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Dr. Myers, welcome back to Health Connections.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Brandon.
Now, according to the New York Times, close to 40 potential vaccines have advanced to human testing, and nearly 100 others are in animal testing. But the path from an idea to a usable vaccine is a long one. How do we get from an idea to a practical vaccine?
Brandon, there are three basic steps in the development of a vaccine. The first is vaccine development. This is in the lab, and it's led by research scientists. It's also an entrepreneurial enterprise. This gives way then to the second step. Testing includes three phases. Phase one is the earliest. That's where you begin to study and track any potential side effects or safety issues with an experimental vaccine. Phase two widens those tests to more people. Then phase three, we're getting closer with still more people. If a vaccine makes it through the three stages of clinical trials with robust evidence of its efficacy and safety, in other words, the vaccine will do what it's supposed to do and without harming the patient, it will get limited approval for high-risk groups or first responders, and then wider approval for the general public. To put this in perspective, you mentioned earlier nearly 40 experimental vaccines are in human trials, but just 9 of those are in phase 3, and none have been approved in the United States at present for emergency or general use. Then we go to the last step, and this is vaccine distribution. That's a concern because we want to know not just when the vaccine will be ready on paper, but when it will be ready for most people to get the vaccine. We have to vaccinate approximately 200 million Americans. And if we look worldwide, that number would be 5.6 billion people to achieve herd immunity, which means we can then return to pre-pandemic living.
All right, I want to bounce off that last point because that leads to the question, where do you begin with vaccine distribution? Who's supposed to get it first?
That's a really good question, and that question is being debated by expert people in our country right now. There are two general approaches. One is you vaccinate those at highest risk. That would be healthcare workers, nursing home residents, prison inmates and the workers in prisons, elderly people, people with underlying medical conditions, and people from minority and low-income families. Now, a different approach, rather than focusing on risk, is to focus on reducing transmission. So in that case, we would focus on the public workforce, essential workers, students, and young people.
What caveats are there?
Well, first, we need to understand that some of these potential vaccines will fail. That's part of the path of scientific discovery. China and Russia have approved vaccines for emergency use, but there are questions about how safe these vaccines are. In early September, drug maker AstraZeneca paused global testing on one of its potential vaccines because someone became ill. This is not to discourage anyone from finding hope in a potential vaccine, but it's just to remind you this is all new, and it's going to be a rocky road at times until we can figure out what works best. A second caveat, Brandon, is the scale that would need to be met in order to give the country herd immunity. Any effective vaccine would need to be made in doses necessary to vaccinate 200 million Americans. The thing I'm most concerned about when you consider these other two caveats is vaccine uptake, that being the number of people who will actually get vaccinated. There's already a flood of misinformation on social media and from anti-vaccine activists. It will take a lot of bipartisan, sustained effort and good public health messaging to overcome the resistance. Lastly, we don't know how long the vaccine will be effective. Some vaccines, such as those for polio, protect you for your whole life. Others, such as hepatitis vaccines, need occasional boosters in adulthood to remain effective. And some, like the flu vaccine, you need to get every year. So we just don't know how long the protection from a COVID vaccine will last.
Trump administration health officials have told states to get ready for vaccine distribution as early as the 1st of November, 2 days before the election, even as we recognize no vaccine has yet been approved for widespread use. Healthcare professionals and even some of the drug companies working on vaccines have pushed back on that timeline, saying it's far too soon. What is a realistic time frame for seeing a safe, effective COVID vaccine for the general public?
I'm with the scientists, not the politicians. Last week, the director of the CDC, Robert Redfield, said it is unlikely a COVID-19 vaccine will be widely available before mid-2021, if not later. So I'm going with the scientists.
Now, each year on this show, you make a plea for people to get their flu shots. By the way, I'm very pleased to say I've already gotten mine, so I can check that off my list. Now, to be clear for our listeners, flu shots don't prevent COVID-19, right? So why is there an extra emphasis on getting that flu shot this year?
Well, Brandon, there's a lot we don't know. There's concern that the combination of COVID-19 and the flu, or one right after the other, could be serious for certain people, and we're trying to protect those people. The second is that the combination of COVID-19 and the flu, or one right after the other, could overburden our healthcare system, which has not fully recovered from the onset of the COVID-19 pandemic. So Brandon, you're right. Every year I promote people getting their flu shots, and I'm delighted to hear you've already gotten yours. I want to emphasize that point to all of our listeners. This is a year that you really should get a flu shot, get it in September or October, and to think about where and how you might get that flu shot. Flu shots are available a lot of places. You just have to be intentional about getting that flu shot.
Dr. Carol Myers is a professor in the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. She is also the creator of Health Connections. We've been speaking today about the potential for a COVID-19 vaccine. Dr. Myers, thanks so much for your time today.
Pleasure's all mine, Brandon. Thank you.